Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who hopes to recap the Big Brother 21 house as accurately as David can. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody. Welcome back live after the Wednesday night edition of Big Brother 21. We are 1 hour later than normal because got to get that Love Island in the 8 o'clock hour. For now, here we are on a Wednesday night, ready to go. And we've got a great show for you here tonight because we have a fantastic guest to talk about this with. She is royalty. Here she is. Portuguese princess, the great Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10 is here. Michelle, how are you?
What's up? My crown is missing.
Yes.
It's getting cleaned at the cleaners right now. Getting shined up.
Okay, Michelle is here. Michelle has what is that, a Patriots blanket behind you?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I saw on your Twitter. Do you work at Gillette Stadium?
Yes, actually, I am your friendly bartender.
Yes,
for all the Patriots games, I've been there for 9 years.
Okay, all right, well. I won't hold any of that against you as a long-suffering Jets fan, but I really appreciate you being here with us tonight. Michelle.
Eek. Jets. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. All right. Of course, with us to talk about everything going on, of course, the great Brent Walgamott. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. I actually literally bumped Melissa out of this spot when I saw that Michelle Flippin Costa was going to be on the show tonight. I was like, oh, do you mind? I would really love to be on the show with Michelle. She is my favorite player ever in Big Brother history. And it's a travesty that she has not been brought back to compete again on Big Brother. Just tell me.
All right. Well, Brent, happy to have you here. Yeah, I was thrown off. I thought it was Melissa. And I'm like, am I going crazy? I thought that it was going to be Brent with Caitlin tomorrow. But tomorrow night, Caitlin Herman will be here with us in the studio live after the eviction when we will see either Kemi or Jessica are going to go home. And so we'll talk about all of that here tonight. Of course, the veto episode tonight, so we'll do our recap and then we'll talk about the live feeds. And if you have questions for Michelle, let's go ahead and get them sent in. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by now. Michelle, I know that you cover all of this very closely, that you do recaps of all of the Big Brother on your Manic Monday podcast. How is that going?
It's actually been going great. I would have never thought in a million years that 10 years later, I'm still doing this podcast. It's pretty awesome, just like yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a super fan of all reality shows. I'm pretty much a reality show. Well, not like the ones.
Not like the ones that we see on other shows, right?
But so it's on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have guests from all different reality shows. And of course, whenever there's a certain reality show going on, we focus in on that.
Mm-hmm.
We do international, Big Brother Canada. So we talk about everything.
So do you do it year round?
Year round, yes.
Okay. All right. How do people find your show?
They can follow me on Twitter, Facebook. I always pop the link up there. Or they can go on Block Talk Radio and look up Manic Monday. Like I said, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Plug. All right. Well, Michelle, I know you follow all of this very closely. Are you enjoying Big Brother 21?
Okay. So I have a little bit to say about it. I thought the concept with the whole camp thing, you know, was a great idea. I like the idea. I like the theme of the house. Do I like the fact that once you get evicted, you get to live in the house? Awesome. Great. But why are we kind of just ready setting it up for disaster? You're letting the people live in the house. They're learning about, you know, other people's powers or other people's alliances. But they're coming in with, you know, if they come back in the house, they're probably going to get evicted right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what they should have done is when you leave camp, right? I don't know, as a Girl Scout or Boy Scout, you get like a little patch or like a ribbon, like
merit badge. Yeah.
You got fire, or good job, you set up a tent. Like, they should have gotten like a patch when they left. And the patch represented some sort of power that they could have had if they do get back into the house. So only they could know about this power, so they could use it while they're in the house, you know, as camp, whatever, they're in the camp room. Could maybe use it part of their game strategy to get back in the house. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they should have done, instead of just ending it up, then they're going to get kicked out the next week after that they get back in.
So, you know? Michelle, you think they need like a bartering chip, like that it would help if they had something that say, hey, if I'm the one who comes back in, then I bring this with me. So I think that's a cool idea. I will say that we don't know exactly what the mechanism is for Big Brother to bring these people back. It may yet be that the camp comeback returnee gets a power, but it would be, like, as Michelle said, something that they find out about after the fact, not something that they know about necessarily right now. So I see where she's coming from.
Yeah, like the first person evicted could have like the best power. Like, they could be HOH, they could take over an HOH and the veto. They could have all the powers in the house. The second one that was evicted, maybe not as powerful, you know, but just something to entice or for them to be able to have leverage, because it's just kind of like shooting fish in a barrel.
Mm-hmm. Or frogs, as was the case tonight.
Rob, I'm trying to figure out if listening to Michelle, if she's the best possible person to write the twist for Big Brother from Taryn's point of view, or the worst. I can't tell.
Yeah, well, Michelle, that you were born out of Big Brother 10, which is a beloved season, but famous for
ever.
No twist. The twist is we're going back to basics. That, hey, Big Brother 9 was too crazy. Let's do no twists in Big Brother 10.
Yeah, there was no twists, but there were a couple of different things that happened. We had, you know, Dan as America's player, which I knew. I called him the mole. He got to take me to an island and try to get me drunk, which didn't work. and then we picked the HOH right before we walked in the house, you know. There was a couple of little
wrinkles.
Things. But yeah, back to basics. I mean, why can't we have that now, please?
Yeah.
Can we just bring back season 10 and have a redo?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Well, I will say this, that I think we're close. I think we're close to Big Brother 10. Not insofar as the people, but as far as the mechanism and the structure of the house. In Big Brother 10, week 4, when everything went to hell for some people and you won HOH later that night, was the night of America's favorite player, and the house broke in two. There was one big house target in Memphis, and the whole house had sort of agreed that he's going to be the one to go. Jesse sat up there on the block as a pawn. But as the week wore on, the people who were feeling less hurt in that alliance decided to flip the vote, and eventually they got the vote to get Jesse out. Likewise, this week, there are certain people at the bottom of the big alliance in the house who may feel differently about how than the HOH feels, but whether or not they get their way or not, it still remains to be seen.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm hoping that Kemi stays, and I do like Jess too.
Yeah,
but I just kind of want Kemi to stay. I just feel like she won't be a sheep. She'll do the moves that we want. A lot of the people in there seem scared, and personally, I just want to see Jack fall off his pedestal and somebody come around like Kemi and slice his neck, or take the pedestal and hit him with it or something. Not in a, you know, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. I thought that this was kind of a weirdly structured episode. We saw a lot of, you know, from the perspective of Jessica and Kemi. And while I really liked the scene where Kemi was putting her eyelashes on and talking to camera, and you got to be careful with that, that I really I thought that was, you know, I liked that part. But overall, it was a week where I feel like that there wasn't a ton of talk about, you know, saving either of the nominees. I feel like that the game was very much secondary compared to everything, a lot of the other stuff that was going on in the house. And then it was a lot of Sam using the veto, and then also, you know, the whole storyline with Sam and Pop, unfortunately. passing away. Brent, did the episode feel weird to you?
It did feel weird to me. But on the other hand, I do sort of empathize with the editors of the show in that it feels like, from what I'm watching this week, and again, we're not going to talk about anything after the veto ceremony, but it feels like most of the game stuff that happened this week is post veto ceremony. So I don't know that there was a lot that they could draw from to fill the episode. I think it could have been structured better and maybe a little bit more emphasis on game, because there were a lot of people who were like, you know, well, which one of these people should go? I think the thing about Jessica being outed as the leader of the Women's Alliance and the person who conceived of it, and then, you know, her blaming Bella for it and Bella copying to the fact that she was the one who exposed it, I think that was covered pretty well. I do like that. I think what they sort of missed was the whole fact that even though Jessica is the one who conceived the Women's Alliance and was the one who was really leading the charge, and Bella was just a part of it, Jessica, in trying to defend herself to Jack and everybody in the house who seems to be at the top of the pecking order, she was like, look, I wasn't the cause of this. It was Bella the entire time. She's even saying it like in confessional or in by herself in the house. By herself, to the point where we're like, girl, do you forget that you were the one who decided to form the Black Widows? Like, it seems like you were like missing the part where you were the leader of this, because it was her idea. It wasn't Bella, but she's certainly done a good job of making people think it was Bella.
So, Michelle,
Bella.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Bella, because I thought that we had an interesting moment from her in the diary room tonight, where, you know, we've been shouting like, what is she doing in there? And she revealed that, well, I want to be in an alliance with everybody, and the problem is I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't keep a secret when I'm talking to people.
I'm trying to think, like, how is that telling them that there's a girl alliance have to do with anything right now? It didn't make sense. She wasn't in trouble. So if she had kept her mouth quiet, she was part of like this alliance and she was part of this alliance on the other side in case the power changed. I feel like she's just one of those people that just needs to tell everybody. And then she's talking about the eight now. She's telling everybody. So no alliance is safe with Bella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, Rob, at least she owned it. At least she's not in the diary room going, you know, I give out information sparingly and I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to play a good game. She was in the diary room going, look, my game is shit. I can't keep my mouth shut and I know it. So I was at least happy for that she recognizes how terrible she's playing. On the other hand, I am sort of irritated by it. And I'm sure Taryn and Melissa are as well, in that if you recognize that you're playing badly, why don't you change your gameplay? Why don't you do something differently?
She can't help it. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I saw this on Twitter yesterday. I wish I could remember who tweeted it, but that it was somebody had tweeted about how that we wondered why Bella's mom is so strict and on her case all the time. It's because her daughter can't keep her mouth shut. She's got to keep her on the straight and narrow her whole life. She knows her daughter is going to screw things up if she's not coming down hard on her.
Whole new sympathy for Bella's mom. Yeah. Like, we saw her in the opening episode and I'm like, girl, I feel you. I really do.
Yeah, we get it. We get it now.
It's disappointing because I was really like excited for Bella. You know, I'm one that I do watch some of the videos and stuff beforehand, but you really don't know anybody until they get in the house and they're actually around these people and personalities. And I mean, her first, like, on the episode, the first night, when she fell down, she got hit with that paint. And I was like, oh, her diary rooms are good. I'm like, she's going to be really one to watch. And if she just tweaks her game a little bit, I mean, she's got like a showmance going on, Mr. Pimple Popper or whatever's going on with this back. So she's got like so many different avenues right now. She had a showmance, she's got a big alliance, she's got a small alliance, and she just can't keep her mouth shut. So it's disappointing. I was really actually rooting for her, and she's kind of gone downhill for me. Maybe she can turn it around. I don't know.
That's the thing, Michelle. I think even though I have lost faith in her, and she's certainly in the crosshairs a little bit right now with flapping her gums about too many things, I still feel like, you know, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, we could be standing Bella. We were living for her. I think she has all of the requisite things to make us want to like her. She just needs to play a little smarter.
So one of the things that we saw in the episode was prior to the veto draw, we saw a long conversation with between Jess and Jackson or Mickey, where they really it seemed like the show was starting to try to really play up that bond to make it make sense why Jessica picked him for the power of veto. Michelle, what did you think about Jessica picking Jackson for the veto competition?
Thank you for saying his name. His name is Jackson.
Yes.
I don't know this whole Michi or Miki, whatever it is.
Michelle, did you hear in when they're talking about him, like in the house, it's Jackson. Like she, when she got house guest choice, she's like, I choose Jackson. But yeah, all of a sudden when she's in the diary room, she says, Mickey. The only person I've ever heard say Mickey besides them is Julie Chen. Like, I mean, yeah, a couple of house guests like flippantly said it, like Jack said Mickey because his name is Jack. But besides that, it's a show created thing. Most people in the house say Jackson. I'm saying Jackson till the cows come home.
Yeah.
Me too.
Brent, did you call out that it said Mickey on his panel on the live HOH competition?
Yeah. Was somebody in production or something? Can I just go on and they call me Wagamon or something? Like, who is this guy? Like, how did that happen? It's not like it was still Annalise for Annalise. It wasn't Sis. Okay. So I don't know how. So obviously somebody who has a little bit of power decided, you know what? This is too hard. Jack Jackson. Oh, I don't know why that would be hard, but they decided it's going to be hard.
I wonder if it's Julie where it's like, it's too much for like Jack reset. Jack, no, Jackson, please reset your Jackson.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. They're keeping that conflict from happening because they could say, oh, I thought you were talking to me when you said Jack. You were saying Jackson. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
When Jessica picked Jackson as her house guest choice, were you on board for that or were you really feeling the pain?
I just don't understand why she would pick him. Did she really think that he was going to use it? I think, you know, she should have picked Nicole, which thank you for Nicole. Thank you, Big Brother Gods. I appreciate her. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she chose.
Right.
Or whatever the hell his name is.
I will say this. I know. I've done a little thinking about it, Rob and Michelle, and I have to say that I don't have as big a problem with her pick of Jackson. I know that Twitter like went absolutely berserk when they heard that she did this, but think about it from her point of view, and there's no evidence that she was thinking it this way. But by picking Jackson, she makes him feel a little bit better. Like, you know, oh, obviously she trusts me a little bit. And remember, she knows at this point that the most likely person to go home is Kemi. The one obstacle to Kemi going home would be something like Kemi winning the veto, that which in turn would cause Jessica to go home most likely. So if she wants to make sure that Kemi doesn't win the veto, picking a strong veto physical player is not a bad option here. Actually, I didn't have as big of a problem with her pick as other people did, because as long as Kemi doesn't win the veto, Jessica is probably safe. That's what she's thinking. So as long, if you know, if Jackson wins the veto, that means Kemi doesn't win the veto. So I was actually okay with it.
Yeah, I also think her strategy overall for being on the block is kind of being like teacher's pet, suck up. And I think that by then bringing in Jackson, you know, going Mama into Jack, it's like, hey, I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys. Not like Kemi.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not defending it. And I'm also not saying that she was thinking about these reasons when she chose Jackson. It could be as simple as he was nice to her a little bit and she said his name. I mean, it literally could be like that, but I think that there were possible reasons for him to pick for her to pick him as a house guest choice.
If I was her, I would be thinking, I want to try to get somebody that I can possibly beat. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's the other way to go.
I want to win the veto, you know?
Yeah.
And also the fact that, like Nicole said, if she won the veto, she would be safe and then she could save Jess or whatever, you know? So I think maybe we didn't see a conversation that maybe Jess had with Jackson, and maybe Jackson like really promised her that he would use it on her, and maybe she fell for it. I mean, I'm not sure.
I mean, I think we saw most of it. It was definitely condensed a little bit.
Yeah.
He also convinced her, but it was definitely condensed a little bit, that conversation between Jackson and Jessica. But I think the point of it was gotten, and we understood why she picked him. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know if we understand why she picked him, but I feel like that you have a general feel like, okay, you know, he talked with her, she felt good about him, and she had some reasonable expectation that if he won the veto, he would use it on her.
Yeah.
Brent, now, was this the competition also where Jackson hurt his foot?
Oh, God. Was it? I thought it was the activity competition.
Was it in the activity with the snakes? That was where he got hurt? Because it has not been addressed on the show, right?
No, it hasn't been addressed on the show that I've seen. Maybe the chat room can tell me. We don't see these competitions on the feeds, so I forget which one is which. I'm waiting for the chat to tell me which one it is, but it looks like, I think it was the activity competition where he injured it. No, they're saying it was Vito. Yeah.
Did he hurt it bad? Like, is it wrapped?
He's limping around the house, so you would think that they would have to explain that at some point, right?
Christmas today. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, but if he's like, hopping around, we'll see if they have to go back to that. Okay. We got some insight into David, Michelle, where David is really being set up as the person who knows everything. Michelle, is David going to be the new Dan Gheesling of Big Brother 21?
If he gets a patch power, David, I didn't want him to go either. So I'm pretty upset that he's in the position that he's in right now. He's really smart. I mean, he's analyzing everybody. He knows exactly what's going on. Is it going to help him? If he gets in the house, I don't know. I mean, right now the house is somewhat a little hostile in regards to him and, who he should side with. I know obviously there's the side that not ostracizing him in regards to trying to put dishes or whatever the hell they're doing in there. But he's very smart, and I just don't know if a lot of the people like Jessica are going to listen to him, or Avi are going to listen to him, because he knows exactly what's going on. In the house, I know you get crazy and paranoid. So
I was really taken with him only because, like, he seems to have a better layout of the house in his mind than Sam. And I would consider Sam to be higher up on the pecking order than David. David at least understands that Sam is not in whatever is the big alliance in the house. And to my knowledge, Sam is not even aware of that at this point. So I feel like that David has a better handle on the house than most people. He called it mostly correct in that there's two showmances in Jack and Sis and Jackson and Holly. Who we haven't seen a lot of on the show. Holly's been like totally missing persons report on the show. But they're the foursome that's working together a lot. Even Jackson at one point this week, I can't remember if it was post, I think it was earlier today maybe, where he said, something about the four of us need to talk. So they are definitely close. Obviously, Christy and Tommy, he called that correctly. This was only one time when he was talking about it, because we've never heard him in the diary room before. When he was talking to Ovi in Camp Comeback, he clocked that Christy and Tommy were a little bit closer to the showmances than maybe he said in the diary room. So it's basically correct. And he has the people who are not in the alliance correct. So that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Well, with this thing with Sam, I mean, there was a conversation today with Jack, and Jack exposed the alliance.
Oh, when Sam. He was talking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the great eight. I mean, the nine with you. So I think Sam knows, like, it's in the back of his mind. But I think he's kind of trying to lay low in regards to what he knows to other people. Though he is winning these vetoes, and he needs to turn it down a little bit in the diary room. But that's okay. That's right. He reminds me a little bit of Dan in the diary room. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's starting to figure out things too, but he's got to lay low. He can't really go for the jugular right now.
Don't you feel like that ship has sailed though? I kind of feel like with him winning two vetoes in 2 weeks, I feel like the idea of Sam, who's a big mouth anyway, laying low is like, I feel like that is not a possibility, Michelle.
I think there's other things going on in the house right now.
Yeah.
That's taking the light off of him.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense, because if Jack is threatened by Kemi, she hasn't won anything. I mean, Sam's won stuff. Sam's not even part of their big alliance. He's at the bottom.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So why isn't he targeting Sam? You know, that would be something that Jack should be doing, but I don't really understand the whole mechanism of why Kemi is so dangerous.
Well, Kimmy was the one who's specifically called out Jack, and she'll own that. I mean, she did, like, oh, yeah. She's definitely trying to downplay it, but she said, look, if I win HOH, those two are going up on the block. So, she'll own that. I will say that Sam is very good friends with Nick and Bella. And so, and they are part of Grateful. Nick and Bella are, so obviously yeah. Sam is not. So if Jack took a shot at Sam, I feel like that Nick and Bella would not really like that. So that might really hurt the alliance. That's probably why he didn't do that.
Okay, so yeah. Sam is going to win this veto competition. Michelle, we got to see last week's veto competition was hosted by Casey, the winner of last season. And then this week, here comes Tyler from last season to host this competition. Put him up in the lifeguard chair, Michelle.
Yeah, the lifeguard chair. Well, it was, I guess, cool concept because, I mean, they were trying to save the frogs or whatever, and I was like surprised that Angela wasn't there.
That was surprising, especially that there was a Love Island tie-in. I thought it's always, that's like a package deal, Tyler and Angela.
Yeah, that's what he said at the end of Big Brother 20. Like, I will not come back to the show unless it's with her. So I don't know.
Did that, Michelle? Do you think that they asked her and she didn't want to do it, or do you think that they said only Tyler?
I think they said only Tyler.
Is it possible? Do you think that we will see Angela host a competition maybe next week without Tyler?
It's a possibility. I mean, I don't really know what they're doing. I mean,
Rob, I have your magic 8-ball. It says don't count on it.
Yeah,
they could put another lifeguard chair out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something.
I was surprised. Like the whole Love Island thing. Didn't they just do like a little segment about how they fell in love?
Right, Swaggy and Bailey.
Yeah, something is up. Maybe she was unavailable. Maybe that was unavailable. I don't know exactly what was going on there.
She must have been maybe doing some promotions for their jewelry line.
Michelle, what did you think about Sis? Annalise said that she thought Tyler was a hot guy and maybe she might go after him.
Well, I'm starting to think that this Big Brother house should be called Big Brother Love House.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there's just too much stuff going on in that house that the last thing she should be thinking about is another guy.
Yes.
Haven't she had enough, sis?
Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Enough is happening in there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so Tammy in the chat says they should call it Big Brothel.
Big Brothel. Yeah.
I know. I mean, if they do, I don't know what's going to happen with Love Island, but they can just do 8 from 9 just with all the love happening in Big Brother, then go right into the Big Brother show.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, I have some guesses what's going to happen with Love Island, but we'll save that for another podcast. So, all right. So we get this frog building competition. I don't understand why Sam wanted this veto, Michelle. I guess, did he just want Fiji? Was that it?
I don't know. It makes me think about my Hawaii trip that I lost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Michelle. Michelle, my favorite diary room ever, when you lost that trip. And she said, Libra's like, I'm going to take the Hawaiian surprise. And the look on your face when you get the unitard is just the best in the history of Big Brother. You literally turn around and give the back to the producers because you're like, this is all you're seeing for me right now. This is all you get. I know Big Brother of 10 like the back of my hand, people.
It's a classic. Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah. The diary that I gave. I already have this vision. If I ever get back in the house, how my diary room's going to start. And I bet you know, Brett, it's going to be with me giving them my back and turning around and gracing everybody with the Portuguese princess. Now
I love it. I don't know. Well, Michelle, why did he win this? Was you think it was the trip to Hawaii, or he just can't help himself? That it's a competition. Tyler's out there, and he wants to win it.
Honestly, I think Sam's just like playing the game. Like he's just playing the comps.
Full steam ahead.
Yeah.
Because Kemi was right there. He could have just had Kemi win. Then he doesn't have to get any blood on his hands. She could seize the veto. I guess that he's vulnerable to potentially be a replacement nominee there, but not a likely one. Yeah.
not a likely one, because he at this point thinks that he's at least in a few different alliances and he doesn't think he's at the bottom of the pecking order whatsoever. So I don't know why he felt like he needed
the bottom.
I'm not at the bottom.
Yeah.
Me? I'm not a bottom feeder.
Yeah. Yeah. Michelle,
I will say, before we move on, Rob, I just wanted to say, and it's not just your impressions of him. I have to say, I am liking Sam. I really I like am. He's so outrageous with his volume that it's so like, it's beyond the point of like, where it's annoying me, and it's into the part of the range where it's tickling me, because it's like, how can someone talk like this all the time?
He's high energy. He's excited. Yes. He's happy to be there. He's not just showmancing it up. As a guy, blue collar guy, he's got a seemingly nice family, nice story, sympathetic figure at this point. I think Sam is very likable. So he won the power of veto once again.
All of a sudden now, Sam's the popular guy. Everybody wants to come talk to him. Yakety yak, 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 yak.
Everybody wants a piece of me now. Blah, blah, blah.
I wonder why, Sam.
Every time I win the veto around here, a popular guy.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. I win the veto.
That's a really good impression.
Isn't it, though?
Spot on. I closed my eyes for a minute and I thought it was Sam. his diary rooms are unbelievable. He won the veto. Yes, that's what people do. They come find you.
Yeah. Also, he tells Tyler, you should have won, Michelle. Was that rude? Was that rude right after KC was in the house?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think everybody has their own kind of opinion and they act one way when they're in front of somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the next person that walks in the house, if it was whoever, maybe Angela, she'll be like, oh, you should have won.
Angela, you should have won. Come on.
Yeah.
Ricky Williams. Yeah, you should have won.
Okay. So, there's a little bit of like, hey, use the veto on me. I think the highlight out of all this, Brent, was Nicole walking in to Jessica campaigning for Sam to use the veto on her.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny too, because Nicole at this point is like feeling that Jessica and Sam are like, they're just like me. They're kind of at the bottom of things. That's Nicole's perception of things. So when she goes in, she's like, no, these are two people that I can normally talk to with, I don't have to hold much back when I'm talking to them. And then she realizes quickly what they are actually talking about. And she realizes she probably shouldn't be there, because if the veto is used on Jessica, Nicole is definitely a possibility as a replacement nominee. So I did really enjoy that part where she was there for like a good 30, 45 seconds. And then she was like, I just realized what this is. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave now.
What's going on here?
Like she was like tipping, toeing backwards.
Rob. Rob, I have to tell you, my favorite part, this is a total non sequitur, but my favorite part of this episode was when they realized they were having the earthquake.
Yes.
The earthquake. Yes. And they're like, oh my God, let's get under the table. And then nobody gets under the table. And then they're like, they go toward the back door and they're like, Nick, come over here. He's like, yeah, I'm coming. He's like, let me just finish washing this pizza cutter that needs to be washed real quick.
Yeah. Like, Nick, come on. I'm right underneath that chandelier. Get over here. Yeah. The one thing that it takes him a long time to do, move in an earthquake. Everything else, this guy is lightning fast.
Oh, Rob, you were so good. Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah. Everything else moves at the speed of light. But
moving train there.
I had a total flashback of Big Brother 10. I was like,
did you guys have an earthquake?
Oh, yeah, you did have an earthquake. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we were in the backyard and it was me, Memphis, and Jesse. And as soon as the earth started shaking, I ran to the middle of the backyard and I jumped on the ground and I was like, what's this? We only have blizzards and hurricanes in Rhode Island. We don't have earthquakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember Jesse taking off his shirt and he's just standing there. And I'm like, why did you take your shirt off? He's like, I don't know. I just take my shirt off during times of stress. And I'm like, and that's when you guys remember when Jerry came out and thought somebody hit the house with a van. So half the house thought it was
the house with a van.
Yeah.
He thought a car just hit.
And then half the house thought it was fake because they thought that we were on a set. And it actually ended up being a question as part of our luxury comp where we got to win food. So
yeah, and not only that, but they had your HOH competition, the one the week that Jesse went home when April was HOH, when they like you had to hang on to the side of the building and it shook. And Julie was like, you've been having earthquakes lately, but you aren't prepared for this one.
Yeah.
I remember they based the whole thing on that. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that they definitely added a little bit of special effects to the camera.
Oh, just
work.
A little.
Yeah. To make it seem like, oh my God. This is.
Hold on, there's an earthquake happening right now.
Yeah, Michelle's having an earthquake right at this moment. Yeah. let's see. Anything else from the episode? Of course, we had the sad story with everything going on with Pop. We spent a lot of time on that. Very, very sad to hear that for Sam and his family.
Look, no shade. I just was like, I was sort of quizzical as why they included it in the episode because they haven't like talked about it a ton in the house. It's not a big plot point. So it was a bit of a downer in the episode, but you know, I felt bad for Sam. So what can you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and, we have a lot to talk about as it pertains to the vote for tomorrow night. There's been a lot of discussion about that during the day today. A lot of stuff from the last couple of days on the live feed. And we are going to take questions later on in the show as it pertains to that. So, okay, if you're going to leave us now, we'll be back on Thursday night with Caitlin Herman here in the studio to talk about the eviction episode at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. And in the meantime, let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message.
Earthquake spoiler!
A spoiler.
Warning means that actual spoilers against this country has been detected.
Let me get out of the desk. Hold on. Let me finish cleaning this buzzer.
I'm going to get under my wine glass.
Get under the wine glass.
At least you can like grab the wine in your mouth as it falls down, Michelle.
Yes. I did feel the earthquake Friday night. That one was
that's right. You live out in California.
Yeah. I didn't feel the one on Thursday, but the Friday night I was like, quick. Wow. We finished washing the dishes. Yeah.
Okay. I know. I'm surprised they included that comment about who was the person who said it? It was like California is just going to break off one day.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah.
Please don't say that.
It was somebody under the table. I don't know.
Yeah. Dark timeline. Okay. All right. So we have our eviction coming up tomorrow. And, I've been paying very close attention with these live feeds. I got to join Taryn Armstrong on the live feed update this morning following Brent Wolgamon, who was on the live feed update on Tuesday, where we're spoiling you guys this week with us on the live feed updates. But all right. Brent, we are 24 hours away from the big eviction and things were looking brighter for Kemi at points today.
Yes, they were. I can't say that anything's changed, though. It does still look to me like Kemi is going. The main problem is that in any vote right now that has Kemi staying, you're going to need Tommy and or Christy, and they move as a pair, and they do not wish to make a move because they think that even though they would love for Kemi to stay and take a shot against Jack, at least so then they wouldn't have to do it. Christy specifically said that. The one problem is, though, that in voting for her to stay, it would be seen as an attack on Jack. Much like in like Big Brother 18, when Vanessa's sister stayed and Polly viewed it as an attack on him. You know, the people, it's one thing to vote one way, but when the person on the block is expressly trying to go after somebody who is the current head of household and you want to vote for them to stay, it's seen as an attack. And oftentimes you're more culpable in the eyes of other people than the person who eventually stayed because you're the one who did the betraying.
Yeah.
So Christy and Tommy do not want to rock the boat at this point. Yeah. I think that Nick and Bella and Sam would like for Kemi to say. It's so amazing to me watching this because, and just give me like 30 seconds, Rob, but Sam, remember, he had the power of veto. He could have saved Kemi.
I had the power!
Never really considered using it. And then fast forward 2 days later, and he's literally going around the house trying to round up votes to save Kemi. He's like, you know, he's the leader at this point. Yeah. Sam is. And why is that? Because Bella opened her big mouth and told Sam about Grateful.
Yeah. I know that. Well, let's just give the real quick over the last couple of days. If you have not been listening to the live feed updates, they've got a lot to get to on the Thursday night episode. I don't know how they're going to get a lot of this in, but Cliff, who has been a noted of live feed talker, Michelle, was talking to his family about the live feed. And then there comes Christy, who overheard Cliff talking about his plans. And then she went around telling everybody in the house, and that created a lot of fireworks on the live feeds yesterday. And for some reason, that as people were talking about, we have to get rid of Cliff. That was when Bella decided to tell Sam that he's not in Grateful, which really, shot Sam out of the cannon, where he was really pushing for Kemi to stay at points this morning.
Oh God. Yes. There's a lot happening. I mean, Bella blowing up all these alliances doesn't help. Sam having the veto, not using it, and then trying to get Kemi to stay, it's not helping. I just don't understand. I think it doesn't really matter at this point whether it's Jess or Kemi that goes. I think that if Kemi uses the fact that Jess is all about woman power, doesn't matter what man it is, if it's Jack, if it's Jackson, she's going for them. So I think that's the only thing that she can use right now, leverage-wise, to try to get out of this jam. Because I think if some people go to Jack and say, listen, Kemi or Jessica came to me and said she's gunning for you, and I thought the best decision to help you was to get Jessica out. That's why we voted this way. They can manipulate it that way. Mm-hmm. I just think that right now there's just a bunch of sheep that they don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah.
Jack doesn't have the power next week. Who cares if he's coming back in the house and living there? It doesn't matter. But I guess that really is affecting people and their decisions to get people out, that they're going to come back in the house.
Brent, the problem here for Kemi is really, she's like in this like finger trap where on the one hand that she was going to blow up Bella, there's a lot of people in the house that don't like Bella, and she was going to really then trash Bella and then make Bella her target. And then that seemed like that was maybe a chance. But on the other hand, Bella is trying to save her. So and she has got Sam and potentially Nick, and then she's talking to Christy, and there's almost enough votes that Bella could save her. But if she trashes Bella, then the people that hate Bella might be inclined to keep her. But either way, there's just not enough support on either side of this thing.
That's the problem. She's not picking a horse, Michelle. She's trying to go down both paths at the same time. She needs to pick a path and stick with it. And I feel like the more likely path for her to stay is to declare war on Bella and Nick and let the other side of the house know that, like, look, like, let you have to let them know where your gun is pointed at. Kemi has a loaded gun. They really fear her as winning a competition. So they view her as something with a weapon that could literally go after anybody. Who is your weapon pointed at, Kemi? It's pointed at Bella and Nick. I feel like in that case, they would save her. But as things currently stand, I don't think she's willing to do that because she thinks she almost has the votes to stay with Bella and Nick campaigning for her. And frankly, she likes Bella, even though she doesn't really trust her. Bella has now told Kemi about Grateful as well. So at this point, it's like, who doesn't know about Grateful? I think it'd be a easier question to answer.
I kind of like the fact too that some, like, they've discussed telling people like last minute, like probably as they're about to go sit down for eviction, like, hey, by the way, everybody has turned there. Everyone's voting out Jessica, you know, this is what we decided, you know, and right away go into the live eviction. I don't know if that's going to work. I mean,
they have to have Christy and Tommy. That's the problem. They have to have Christy and Tommy. And Christy and Tommy don't want to rock the boat yet. And why should they?
Well,
they have
Christy
a good going.
At one point was at least thoroughly considering it, that she had overheard the couples talking about, hey, the four of us need to get together. And she did not like feeling like she was on the outs. And so Tommy, right. Though, has, you know, he's the person who is, going to make sure that things don't go out of hand.
The problem with and the chat is yelling at me, not you, Brent. Shut up, Doom. I'm getting to it. The what I'm trying to tell you guys is that Tommy is the real cause of it, because while Christy might want to do something, Tommy is the person who's a little more cautious. Frankly, he's the better game player. And that's the reason why I feel like this probably won't happen.
And he has a relationship with Jessica.
And he has a relationship pre the show with Christy. So anything he says, she's going to take to heart. And I just don't think the votes are there. The other thing is that Kat is really close to Jessica and she likes her. Holly is close to Kat and they both want to keep Jessica. I just don't know that Kemi's willing to do what it takes to stay. And I think what it takes to stay is to throw Bella under the bus. But it's harder for Kemi to see that that's the path that she needs to go down.
Yeah, because on the one hand, that if she went down the Bella, Nick, Sam route, so she has maybe Bella, Nick, Sam, Nicole.
Cliff and Nicole, yeah.
If they could get, could they get Christy and Cliff? But Christy won't come without Tommy. So they could get Cliff, but probably not Christy. So that's five.
I can get to five. I can see five, but I cannot find six. Seven. Yeah. Well, I mean, six.
What about the trash Bella route? Well, could you get to six going that way?
Oh yeah, that's easy.
People that hate Bella.
Yeah, trash Bella and get, you know, the six people who are part of Six Shooters. Plus, you know, one or two.
But Jack's the HOH, so he can't vote. So
that's five. Well, there's still plenty of.
Cliff will go with whatever, right?
Cliff will go with whatever. Exactly. Nicole would do it.
Yeah, Nicole would go with whatever. So
yeah, because she's pissed at Bella right now.
What are they going to do when they get kicked out? Okay, so what's their game plan when they come back into the house after they get kicked out? Are they going to expose everything anyway? So if Kemi's going to plan on exposing it anyway, then go balls to the walls. Who cares? Rat out Bella now. Don't save it for when you get kicked out, because you know Kemi is going to probably come back with a vengeance back into that house if she's kicked out, and she's going to spill everything.
Michelle, here's the thing. I think what Kemi needs to do now that she knows about Grateful is go directly to Jack, who has the ability to sway the house, and say, look, I know about Grateful. Here's why Bella told me she is a pariah. She is not to be trusted. She's screwing me over. She's screwing you over. If I stay, I will nominate Nick and Bella. You have my word. If she said that, I think she could stay, but I don't think she's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know she was planning on a spicy speech, Brent, but
speeches. Take that and shove it up your, you know what? Like, so this, when have speeches ever changed anything? You can get Twitter to stan you for 10 minutes. Okay. But they have not changed anything in regard to the house. Just show me one time where a speech has altered the course of a vote in Big Brother history. All right.
Michelle, do you ever have a second thought when you're sitting there on the couch and somebody makes a speech?
No, I mean, I pretty much have the idea of what I'm going to do beforehand. So it'd be very difficult unless they expose something so huge. But in that house, people just, you know, they already have told somebody. So, you know, by the time telephone happens, it might change a little bit here and there. Some things were added, some things were deleted, but if something's going on, somebody in the house knows about it. So.
Michelle, what is the competition going to be for Camp Comeback to get back into the game? How are they going to decide this?
I hope it's, you know, anybody can win, you know, one of those kind of things, like throw a ball up in the air or maybe make fire or something, like, I don't know. I want it to be something that no matter if you're tall, short, strong, smart, it doesn't matter. You could possibly make it into the house. I don't want it to be like, say, for instance, if it's, you know, Jack's part of the four, you know, who can lift the biggest or whatever it could be, or who can look like Aquaman. Do you know what I mean?
I think it would be great if it was willpower. Like, who wants it the most? And not something where you could, like, just press a button and hold the button down. Like, see who lasts the longest. I think that something like that would really look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not Nick. Yeah.
I think we have to be all in on David, though, returning to the game, because that, with all due respect to Ovi, what's Ovi going to do if he gets back in? I mean, Kenny, you know, she, you know, has been dealt a bad hand, but she, too, is going to be evicted. At least David, he's the wild card to me. He's the person that we don't know exactly what he could do with a fair shot.
We don't. And I am intrigued by what David brings to the table. I will say that I think there are no bad options at this point, which is sort of sad in that, you know, you have Ovi, and
at
I
least
do
Ovi
have
a power. At least Ovi has power.
At least Ovi has a power. He has said his power will become active again if he comes back into the house. So there's that. And Kemi, she is fiery, and she's playing a game that she's comfortable with. And she knows who is her enemy for the most part and who's her friend.
She has fire, but
she has fire. Yeah.
Ovi is a nice guy, Michelle, but I think that Ovi is not as good at this as he thinks he might be.
One of my people that I picked in the beginning, and I was like, watch out for Ovi. I think he's going to be one of those silent, deadly. He's pretty much been like a fart. Like, it's there. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like the presence felt for a second, but I think that it would be awesome if, like, David came back and he wins HOH and he puts Jack up.
But I don't think he's going to do that either. I think he's going to come back and join the big group and at least let them feel like he'll go undercover. He's going to go Donnie Brasco, I think. And then
I'm just nervous that he's going to make a full betrayal and just totally go all in with them. Like, and they like David. They didn't at first. They talked a lot of smack about it and a lot of things they didn't like. Yeah. But lately, they have really enjoyed him to the point where they've thought about adding him to the alliance of six shooters as a seventh.
Yeah, well, he might feel like, hey, I'll go in with those guys, and then if I get down to the end, then I'm more likable than they are, and has a chance to ultimately, you know, win mental comps versus some of those meatheads.
Look, I'll say this: I think like the power rankings for who we want to come back are David, Kemi, and then a bit of a gap, and then Ovi. That's where I'm at right now.
Look, your mileage may vary, and we'll see who ends up.
Ovi's a nice guy. I just don't think he's cut out for Big Brother. In fact, watching Ovi makes me rethink ever wanting to be on Big Brother, because I feel like I would be at least a somewhat competent player. But Ovi is a big fan, just like I am, and he's been terrible on the show with reading people. So. Yeah. Like, oh God, like I could really like do a total face plant if I went on and show people that I know nothing about this show that I podcast about.
He got misted.
Yeah, he got misted. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take some questions here. Let's take a question. This is from Jalen, who wants this. Does Big Brother really not have an emergency plan for earthquakes or other natural disasters? Didn't this happen on season 10? And the house guests just had to stand in scared confusion. Michelle, what kind of prep do you get in the event of an earthquake? Does it come up?
No. Not at all. There was no discussion in regards to if anything like that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure. I think we might have been the first people to have like an earthquake in the house. So I think maybe they just automatically assume that everybody knows what to do during an earthquake, you know? But people from like my era, we don't have earthquakes. And if we did, it's like a 2.0, you know what I mean? So I just know because I like watch the Weather Channel, and I watch a random person just sit there and watch somebody sit in a hurricane and talk about it for 3 hours. I don't know why they never really discussed that.
It's
strange to me. They should discuss something like that.
Yeah, I feel like they don't. First of all, it's not something that happens very much. And although that's a terrible way to think about things, because it's like one of those things where, it doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, you probably need to be prepared for it, like a fire. The other thing is that they probably just think they know what to do. Get under the tables and it'll make fun television. So who knows?
All right. Let's take this question. This is from Andy, who says, do you think that Nicole really would have used the veto on Jess if she played in the veto comp? I got to believe she saves Kemi.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. I do think she saves Kemi, Michelle, but I think it would have been close. And I'm not sure if she would have used the veto, because then somebody like Cliff, who I think she does really enjoy, might have gone up in their place. So it would have been a tough decision for her. But I'm more on the side that she probably would have used it on Kemi.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. I think she probably, they would have had a discussion. Kimmy has probably at this point no shot of actually making it out alive for the nominations. They were gunning for Kimmy. So Jess probably had a better shot of being able to get out of whoever was sat next to her. So for Nicole, it would have been smart to take Kimmy off and then risk whoever went up next to Jess and try to keep Jess safe in that aspect. But
in that instance, if she had won the veto and used it on Kimmy, it's possible that somebody like Sam would have gone up, or maybe Kat. I think those are possibilities. I mean, I know that Sam would have been a bigger move for Jack, but he's not in the alliance and he already won one veto. So if Nicole used the veto on Kimmy, I don't know what would have happened there.
Okay.
Not sure.
This is a question from Juliana, who wants to know, if David had never gone home on day one, would he still have been able to have such a good read on the house? Is the fact that he is an outsider that has allowed him to see this, or is he just a more observant person? Michelle, this is kind of a fascinating question. Do you think that David is able to come in and be able to see what's going on better because he missed the first 2 weeks?
Honestly, I think he probably would be in the same position that he's in right now. He would have been the outcast, still looking from the outside in. Mm-hmm. I think that they would have probably done the same exact thing if he stayed in the house, kind of blackballed him and, you know, put him with the rest of the other people, you know, that they've kind of been bullying or whatever you want to call it, alliance that, you know, that he's not in. He's not in the alliance with the eight. So they're pretty much running the house. I think that he would have been observant either way, even if he was still in the house playing
yeah.
the game.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from him by saying like, oh, it's just because, you know, he wasn't in the house. That's why he's so observant about this. I think he's got a naturally good read on the house. Mm-hmm. But also, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see like the general pecking order of what's happening in the house. Like you can see who hangs out with who and who's definitely on the outside. So. Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a question for Michelle from Sarah. Who from this cast would you want to spend a day at the beach with? Who would it be?
Oh, come on.
There's a few fun people.
Who would it be? I would actually like to spend a day at the beach. You know, I'm starting to like Nicole more and more and more. Like the more that she's been in the house and she's quirky and fun. And I think right now, Nicole would probably be the person I'd want to be at the beach.
Nicole is great. Most popular person out there from Long Island after Bagel Boss guy.
Oh, my God. I saw that today.
Yeah.
What in the world was that about? That was
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Craziness. Oh, my God. I would like
I
to
I said
spend
they need to send Bagel Boss guy out to Love Island that he can't get a date. Send him out to Love Island. Robin Cass, if you're listening, send Bagel Boss guy to Love Island. You want to save your show. You need Bagel Boss guy.
Love Island's
supposed to be like a dating app. It's like a real life dating app. Well, now throw Bagel Boss guy in there and see what happens. People will watch the show.
Yes, they will watch if you put him on.
Yes.
They're not watching now.
They're not watching now. They don't want to see Zach.
Oh, gosh.
Bagel Boss, man.
They want to see some cream cheese.
Michelle did a little dance for that. All right.
Okay.
By the way, I would like to be trapped on the beach with Kimmy. I think we would have fun throwing shade at all the people and all the passersby.
She's so good. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's take one from Kyle. Is there any upside you can think about Sam winning the power veto outside of the Fiji trip? Michelle, is there any utility there? People looking at him like maybe like he's a useful guy in the house?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think he should have won that. I mean, unless he used it, he should have used it. He used the first one on Cliff. I mean, he's not in an alliance.
Yeah, but Cliff is a dad.
I know, but I just think that, you know, Sam deep down inside knows he's not in really top of the alliance. He's on the bottom.
Well, he knows now.
Yeah, he knows now.
Bottom.
but I would.
I'm on the bottom.
I'm used the veto. Well, I really would have, but I'm sure his game, no matter what, is probably, you know, on the brink. I want to see what he does if he actually won HOH. That would be interesting.
Okay, Michelle, here's a question for you from Ramen. Is there hope for Cliff next week, Michelle? Can Cliff bounce back from being overheard talking in the boat room?
Oh, God. I think he got overheard again. Didn't Jackson catch him talking?
I don't know if he was talking about anything in particular, but yeah, they know what he's up to.
They know something's going on in the morning, you know? So, you know, I don't know. It really matters about who's going to get the power next week, or I should say tomorrow. If it's going to affect them. And I think that there might be a couple of things with Christy. I think they were conspiring to tell, I think, was it Nicole? No, they were going to conspire to tell somebody some of the lies that Nicole might have been the one that was saying it to them, but they were actually eavesdropping. So I don't really know. It depends on who wins.
I feel like the one person who you do not want to win HOH, if you're a Cliff fan, is Christy.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
One person that yes. I feel like she would not go after Nick and Bella. There are a lot of people in Grateful who are not fans of Nick and Bella. A lot of people, some people on the outside are not fans of Nick and Bella. But I feel like Christy would not take a shot at Nick and Bella. I feel like she would take a shot at Cliff, and he would be her target. So just anybody outside of Christy, even Tommy,
yeah, she would be able to say, Cliff, it's nothing personal, but that I heard what you said about us, and so I have to, because you know what you did, and then that she would just feel like that she has him point blank to be able to.
Yeah, she would feel so entitled too. She'd feel like morally right in targeting him, which I can't stand when people feel that way. So yeah,
she's manifesting.
That's what we do not want. Is a Christy HOH. If that happens, Cliff, you in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Who should be gunning for HOH tomorrow night, Michelle? Who needs it?
I would say like a Nicole, Jess, if she stays.
Yeah. I think Nick and Bella, I think that they might be the ones that are really a lot of people might have their sights set on them.
I'm curious what Nick or Bella would do.
Yeah, but the problem, though, Michelle, is that they don't really know it. Like, they're talking, Nick and Bella are talking to Sam and to Tommy, like, okay, well, maybe we don't want to rock the boat in week two. Like, our names aren't being said, so why should we... Why should we save Kemi and then have four other people who are after us, not realizing that as things stand right now, all of those four people are after them? So they really have no clue right now. And it's all mostly because of Bella and her big mouth. And Nick does not know, by the way, that Bella, at least up until I came on the show tonight, that Bella has revealed Grateful to Sam, and that she has revealed Grateful to Kemi. Also, as Michelle noted earlier, you guys might not have caught it, but Jack, when he was talking to Sam in the storage room, he just like out of nowhere said to Sam, like, I want to do what's best for Grateful, and then quickly corrected himself and said the nine. And I'm still kind of waiting to see if Sam caught that or not. But you could definitely tell that Jack realized what he had said and quickly tried to.
Jack caught it.
Yeah, Jack caught it. Exactly.
Jack caught it.
Wait, what? Grateful.
If you guys in the chat are asking me why Bella did all these things, girl, I don't know. She's just a terrible player. I agree with Taryn on the show. She's been cursed by some wizard to just like spill her guts at every flipping opportunity. It is bizarre. She doesn't get anything out of it.
Isn't she like the story that she says, like she wants to make her mom proud? It feels like she's been sheltered, or she's been like kind of reserved and hiding back in her life. And she's now just kind of been like let out of the house for the night.
Get back in the house.
Like Bella gone wild. She's like, she's doing all the stuff that she's wanted to do. She's, you know, doing stuff with Nick. She's talking shit about everybody. Everybody she's talking shit about, she's bringing them into the room and exposing the alliance and all this stuff. I mean, she's literally Bella gone wild. Mm-hmm. That's what I think has happened. You
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say something. Yeah, I wanted to correct something really quickly because this is important to me. I got a few emails about this or messages on Twitter. I said on the show on LFC Roundtable, I was getting mad at people for comparing Bella to June. And I said, stop doing that because the only reason that you guys are doing that are they are the same race. Obviously, that is not totally true. June is Korean American and Bella is Chinese American. So I wanted to just put that out
there.
Thank
you for the retraction.
I realized that I got that a little bit wrong. What I should have said is people perceive them to be.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I'm fishing you out.
Thank you, Michelle. Right. I appreciate it. My big mouth. I'm like Bella. My big mouth gets me in trouble sometimes.
Big mouth.
Yeah. Then I just go by June seemed to not appreciate the comparison.
June does not enjoy it. No. Yeah.
So if she doesn't like it, then don't do it. Okay. Then Shelly says, one lucky get. Your hair is looking great tonight. Hair, shirt, lighting. It's all on point.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
what about
Shelly.
Us, Michelle?
I do try.
I feel like I'm give it up for Michelle. A little bit.
Michelle has straight hair. I know on Big Brother 10, she had that curly hair, which is gorgeous, but I do enjoy the straight hair.
Yeah. We found out tonight that Brent will go as far as 2 hours away to go to a hair appointment.
I will. It's crazy. It's hard when you're somebody who, you know, a 44-year-old man who tries to take care of himself and like, people can screw up color. It's not easy to find somebody who can do a man's hair. So, you know, I do what I have to, Rob. Look good. Okay.
All right. Michelle, let me take a second and tell you guys about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. Last night, I got together with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally and talked about the premiere of Love Island. If you're on the fence about should I check out Love Island, I didn't see Love Island night number two. We talked about the premiere episode. I gave a lot of thoughts about Love Island. Brent, did you watch Love Island?
I did not. Okay. I'm sorry to say. I know that's terrible. How did this happen where Taryn checked it out and I did not? I'm so embarrassed.
Michelle, will you cover Love Island on Manic Monday?
I would definitely be talking about it, yes. I just don't know how long I'll be talking about it. So it really depends on how the show does. But like I said, I was like watching it today. I did watch it yesterday and today. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was watching Big Brother for a little bit. I mean, it really felt like the angles and stuff like that. Yeah. I was like,
But I thought it was going to be trashier. I was disappointed, Brent.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, well, and because it's live. So I think that maybe they might have been expecting there was going to be more, fireworks from the beginning. But we'll see. We'll see if it picks up.
It's only day two. Give them time to be
trashed. It's only day two, but the ratings were not great.
Thursday night. Okay.
Yeah, need Bagel Boss guy. Okay. Bachelorette is still going. We've got Amy and Haley with their recap of the latest Bachelorette. What about the Bachelor? I know you're on Monday, Michelle. You track the Bachelorette?
You know, I'm not caught up with last week, but I guess there's some drama with Jed. He had a girlfriend or something. I didn't see that episode, so I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Bachelor Paradise.
He doesn't have an
scratchy show. Yeah.
The Jed, he doesn't have an ex that he has dreams about, does he?
Oh my God. I don't know. I mean, did he make a statement? Yeah, I guess the last thing I heard is Jed is not ready to make a statement.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah. Then, of course, News AF, the dancing cockatoo, those 14 different dance moves. We talked about that with Danny and Tyson on the latest News AF. And then Taryn is going to be getting you ready on eviction day. We'll find out what's the latest. Of course, the house is abuzz about the big vote. Is it save Kemi or not? Jess is kind of a non-factor in all of this. It's really a house referendum on Kemi. What's going to happen on Thursday morning with Taryn, and then Caitlin Herman will be right here with me in the studio in 24 hours to talk about everything. Very excited for Caitlin. She'll be joining us here on Thursdays this season on our eviction recap, and then maybe we'll have a new HOH. Lots to talk about with Caitlin in her first appearance of the season. And then to everybody who wants even more Rob is a Podcast, find out everything that's going on behind the scenes and everything going on our patron only podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/ patron. Your support makes all of this podcasting possible. Okay, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. I know that this has been a long time coming and long overdue.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Can I just say one more thing before?
Of course, you could say 100 more things.
I just want Big Brother gods, can you please give the house alcohol tonight? Because if you do give them alcohol tonight, you know the two definite people out there in the world that tell the truth, kids and drunks. Mm-hmm. So if we can get them saucy, maybe we'll have a better chance to keep Kemi around.
I really agree with Michelle. And Rob, they should, because as you called it, I love Jessica. She's a sweet girl, but she is feeds snooze, man. There is nothing fun happening when it comes to Jessica as far as the feeds go. So if they want to keep Kemi in the house, like as an active player, the Big Brother gods should do everything possible in order to make that happen and lube it up with a little bit of booze. That would be very good.
I'll say the one good thing that Jessica does do is that she does a lot of like good, like gif-able reactions of like, like her, like just her mouth open. And she has a very expressive face. And so she's good for the memes, but,
zoning out earlier today on the dining room table.
Yeah. So she's good for memes, but that's about it. We can do better.
We can do better than that, Rob. Okay. Yes.
All right. And look, she'll still be there for the memes if she gets voted out. She'll get a great shock face on Thursday night.
Yeah. That should be fun. Also, I'm excited to see who the new HOH is. There are a lot of people who could be nominated on Friday or Saturday, whenever they have nomination ceremony, depending on who wins HOH.
Brent, do you think we're getting an endurance comp tomorrow?
Usually they do it right after.
They shut down the backyard since yesterday.
That's true. Yeah.
Something.
I don't know. My gut says they always do it. The Big Brother is very predictable in their like unpredictability, supposedly. So I feel like that they usually would do it after whoever comes back in from whatever camp comeback thing. So.
You know, I'll tell you what. I feel like that when we get the endurance comp, I feel like that we like the live feed affiliates start hearing like, hey, tell people get the live feeds because Thursday night is going to be an endurance competition. Make sure you get your live feeds at CBS All Access. Not hearing any of that yet. So
yeah,
I feel like that I would probably bet against an endurance competition, but would not bet anything important on it.
It might just be a big competition with a big set. Like I know they shut down the backyard for that golfing competition they had.
It's not going to be an endurance competition. I'll tell you why, because they have the third Wacktivity competition on Sunday, so they can't have a competition that's going to go into Sunday night and then have an endurance competition and then have a Wacktivity competition and have nominations in one show. So it's an endurance competition.
It should be noted that Kemi was scheduled to compete in the third Wacktivity. So if she's eliminated from the house, there will only be four people who are competing for that last Wacktivity panic power. And since the second power was kind of a snooze, I have to think that the third power is going to be pretty freaking cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you get to change the veto. Like who cares?
Yeah.
I feel like that's could affect the game or anything like that. I don't know.
I think it's going to have something to do with the votes. I think it's either you're going to be able to cancel people's votes or extra votes. I think we had one had to do with the nominations. One had to do with the veto. And I think that the third is going to have to do with eviction night.
I feel like it would be cool if they were like the sole vote to evict. That I personally would enjoy that.
Then
watch it go to somebody like Jackson. I'll be pissed or something. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Holly. So thank you guys so much for joining us here live tonight. Looking forward to finding out what's going to happen tomorrow night. Take care, everybody. Michelle, one more time on Twitter, you're Michelle BB10. And
Michelle
then
BB10 on Twitter, Michelle BB10 on Instagram, Michelle Costa on Facebook, all that fun stuff.
And then head on over to Blog Talk Radio to hear the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa every Monday night at what is it? 7?
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.